Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me. You can find out more about the program. You can link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And, of course, that's the primary sponsor of the program. You can find all that at livewithpastoral.com. In addition to listening to past programs, you can listen to our Sunday night programs. You can listen to our Friday afternoon programs. And currently, just looking right here, right now, we're caught up to date all the way up through just this past Friday's program. So all that's available at livewithpastoral.com. There's also a variety of articles on a number of different topics. My most recent article that is there is titled, "Is Everlasting Life Really Everlasting Life If It Doesn't Last Forever?" And so looking at what Jesus had to say about everlasting life, eternal life, and just exactly what it is that he promised us when we put our faith in Christ as our Lord and Savior. So you can find that at livewithpastoral.com. There's also a number of other articles. You can see the link to index of articles there on the right-hand side. And if you go there, there's quite a few articles. It'll take you over there and you can look them up by subject. And also you can find links to some of our social media things, everything from Facebook and Rumble to MeWe and Truth Social and Twitter. Well, actually it's called X now. And just different ones there, LinkedIn. You can find all of that at livewithpastoral.com. So let me encourage you to check that out. Let's go ahead and open our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do pray that you would bless, use the program tonight to guide us and direct us in things that we talk about. Help us to lift up and glorify Christ in all things. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And again, in all things, help us, Lord, as I said, to glorify Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm Pastor Al Davis, and you can give us a call tonight. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, and before we get to our callers here this evening, I do want to call your attention to something that I found out about this as I was heading out the door for our evening service at church tonight, and then I've been able to find out little bits and drabs of information here and there. And if you have not been paying attention, up in Minneapolis today, there was an invasion of a church, City's Church, which is a Southern Baptist church, a church in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. They had their services this morning interrupted and taken over by anti-ICE protesters. And the interesting thing with this is that Don Lemon of CNN just happened to be in the service. Now, you know, Kenny,
that's crazy. He just happened to be there?
Well, you know, he is a man about town. He gets around a lot.
Well, I mean, was this his church? I mean, does he live in Minneapolis?
No.
I don't think he does. Does he?
He was posting on his YouTube page, I guess, yesterday, saying that, you know, he's been busy with New Year's and all that, and now he's getting back into the news groove, I guess, for the new year. And he wanted to firsthand go up to Minneapolis and find out what's going on. And I don't, did you ever watch Don Lemon?
No.
Much? I mean, I'm not, he's not in my top 10 either.
No, most I know of him is just random clips I would see on X or something. And
right,
it's usually
right.
him making a fool of himself.
Or if you're stuck somewhere in a waiting room and they've got CNN, which is the main place that you find CNN. You know, he's always kind of struck me, how about you, as the kind of guy that just goes to church every Sunday morning, wherever he's at, doesn't he?
Really, you think?
No, maybe not. Maybe the opposite. Maybe the opposite.
Oh, that was sarcasm. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't catch it.
Yes. Well, you know, the kind of guy that just every Sunday, wherever he's at, well, he wanted to go up to Minneapolis, get a firsthand account, you know, intrepid newsman that he is.
Or was, or wasn't, or whatever, never was.
I don't know. But so he went up to Minneapolis. And it just happened to choose this one particular church because, well, you know, it was a conservative, evangelical sort of church, Southern Baptist, and the pastor had made statements, public statements, I guess, supporting ICE and their efforts and law enforcement and like
many, sounds like a good church.
Yeah, sounds like a good church to me, too. And I guess either the pastor or one of the associate pastors actually worked for ICE, and a lot of this is still it just is coming out. Mm-hmm. They either used to or currently does have like a job, part-time job, working in their office or something. But there's some connection apparently with ICE, so maybe that's why he went there. Because, you know, intrepid newsman that Don Lemon is. He probably wanted to maybe interview said pastor afterwards because, you know, we're here in Minneapolis, you're connected with ICE, and we just like to get your take on things. I'm sure that's all he was there for.
Yeah, probably.
Well, while he was there, in the middle, or not in the middle, it was at the beginning of the service, somebody comes in the back of the auditorium and interrupts the pastor. I was listening to it earlier and I can't remember. He had just prayed and I think he was reading the scripture that they were going to be talking about. He might have just finished reading the Bible and starting to expound on it when somebody started shouting at him. And you can hear the interchange if you go online. More of this is coming up. The first things that they saw was the actual ICE protesters running into the church and shouting and screaming and intimidating people. But they come flooding in. Well, guess what? Don Lemon was just the intrepid newsman that he is. Johnny on the spot, right there he was.
Yeah, wow,
what
a lucky day.
Well, it was better than that. He had a film crew who was waiting outside who come charging in to be able to document everything.
Oh, wow, you know, that's amazing. What a coincidence.
Oh, it reminded me of, remember a guy by the name of Roger Stone that used to work for President Trump?
Yeah.
One day he was lying in his bed, him and his wife, sound asleep, wee hours of the morning. The FBI, HRT, what is it, hostage rescue team and SWAT team and all that, helicopters and everything else come busting in his house and hold him out in his pajamas in the middle of the wee hours of the morning.
Yeah, wasn't CNN like just
happened to be? They just happened
to be
there. Like, they happened to have a van there. And you know, they probably knew it was Roger Stone's house, and they might have been out there training their cameras, getting some shots or something. While they were doing that, the FBI showed up and raided his house and pulled him out
nowhere.
In handcuffs. They just happened to be there at that time.
It's
amazing.
The luck and timing, man.
Good night, CNN. I mean, I don't know why I don't watch it. They're so right there.
I mean,
they've
so lucky. It's such a lucky spot to be in. Like, someone might even accuse them of being tipped off early or something. I don't know. I mean, but that's how crazy it is when you have luck like that.
Well, it's kind of amazing because, Mr. Lemon has posted some of his stuff, and I don't know if they're going to take some of it down because, you know, the protesters were meeting in a parking lot at a little shopping center before going into the church. And guess who showed up to interview them?
No.
Mr. Lemon.
What?
Yes. And then, you know, after they left, he drives off and he's being videoed in the car as they're riding along. He goes, now, don't say where we're going. Don't say where we're going. Now, when we get there, I don't want you to park near the building. I want you to park over here. Park across the street. Yeah, don't go over there. That's too. Yeah, park back here. And I'm going to get out, and I'm going in. He's wearing those Meta glasses. He says, are they working?
Kind of sounds like, I don't know, like if we were in the movies, like he almost sounds like a director.
Yeah.
At this point.
Like they were setting the stage for something.
Something. Yeah. Wow.
So
that's crazy.
He goes walking across the where they're at. And as he's going, getting ready to leave, he says, now stay on the sidewalk. Don't go on the property. Stay on public property and wait. And then as he you see him going across the street over where the church is and going up the steps. Now, the service had already started. Like I said, they were as he walked in, they were the opening prayer just before the message. And you see him disappear through the door, and then you can hear because he's got a mic, you know, and he's got his Meta glasses, so it's picking up the sound and all of that. And you can hear the guy praying, and you can hear him going in and getting seated, and he sits down, and it's, you know, a decent sized church, so having somebody come in late and sit down, it's not disturbing. Mm-hmm. Even in smaller churches, it's not really particularly disturbing. Somebody comes in and they quietly take a seat, and especially somebody new that you haven't seen before, and he's sitting there, and they go in. Like I said, they read the scripture, and about the time they finish the scripture, you hear somebody start shouting, coming in the back, and start shouting, and interrupting the pastor, and they said something, and then a whole surge of people come in, and then the camera crew says, oh, that's our cue, and they come running in, and they run into the church with their cameras, and that's how they got the video. Yeah, just the amazing coincidence that they happened to be out in the car, and the very group of protesters that they were interviewing earlier that morning were the same ones that came into the church.
That's insane.
That's just the most amazing coincidence.
Wow.
I'm sure there's absolutely no collusion there of any sort.
No, what?
Who would think something like that? No.
He would have set it up and planned it for them, you know?
Why? Intrepid
just
because
it sounds like it doesn't mean he did.
No.
Just because all the facts point to it doesn't mean he did.
You know, so here's, it's hitting the news. There's a bunch of stories out there right now, and you can see the video, and you can hear a lot of the shouting. Some of it's hard to follow, but the interesting thing is that federal government is getting involved in this, and one of the reasons is there's something called the FACE Act that the left wanted in order to be able to prosecute people who were pro-life protesters outside of abortion mills.
Now, what exactly is the FACE Act, though?
Well, what is it? Federal or freedom of access to clinic entrances or something like that. I had it on here a minute ago, but I'm not finding it right at the moment. It's one of the things. I have too many tabs open, and I was going back through it trying to find it. But it was basically enacted so that pro-life protesters at abortion clinics could not block access, so there would be freedom of access into these abortion mills.
Uh-huh.
Well, it can also apply to freedom of access into churches and things like that. And so the very legislation that they use to prosecute Christians and pro-life demonstrators might be used against these people.
Hmm.
And wouldn't it just be interesting if Don Lemon somebody had video showing him colluding with these people and knowing in advance that it was going to come and making plans to cover it.
Oh, now you're just talking crazy.
Crazy talk.
Just because all the facts point to that doesn't mean that he wasn't just the lucky news reporter at that time.
You know, CNN's got all the luck, what can I say? They just got
he's
all
not
the
with
luck.
Them anymore, I don't think. I think they fired him a while ago.
Gone? Oh, yeah. Maybe that's why he's trying to get back.
Yeah.
Maybe he's trying to get back. He was with CNN when they happened to be there for Roger Stone.
Yes.
So maybe he's trying to ingratiate himself and get back on CNN. Yeah, see, like I said, I don't follow CNN, so I don't really know. But you may be right. I might have heard something about him being let go.
I think they let him go sometime last year.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a long time ago. What, 2 weeks ago? Something like that. 3 weeks ago, I guess we're getting to. But, you got to go online and look at some of this stuff. And even President Trump tweeted out some stuff about this or posted some things. And, you know, it's good to see that the federal government, rather than going against Christians, against conservative churches, is actually rallying to defend them against this. They basically, I think they had two things that they wanted to accomplish with this. One of them is intimidation, because if they can go into a church like this and successfully go in and shut down the services and all, it puts a chill on other churches that may themselves want to speak out against some of the things that are happening that are wrong and stand up for ICE. You know, and just so people understand, the problem that they're having with ICE is the left is saying that ICE is going in with masks and at gunpoint, kidnapping our citizens off the streets.
Yep.
No, they are going in as a law enforcement agency, arresting people that have warrants because they are not citizens of the United States. They're illegal aliens who have committed crimes in addition to violating our immigration laws. We're talking crimes like child abuse, rape, murder, assault and robbery, all kinds of stuff. I mean, these are not nice people. And when they find other illegal aliens that are around them, they take them as they just sweep them all up.
Scoop them up as well,
And then, of course, you know, people are saying, oh, but they're pulling moms and dads away from their children. Now, I'm not suggesting that you're going to get in trouble and get arrested, but if you got arrested and thrown in jail, would you be able to say, but what about my children? You're separating me from my children.
I mean, they're not hauling your wife and kids to jail with you.
I mean, if you and your wife got arrested at the same time, are they going to let your kids go with you?
No.
You're separated. I mean, this happens every day across the United States. Parents are separated from their children.
But here's another thing. Okay. Say me and my wife both commit a crime. We're both going to jail.
Right.
Say our children are committing a crime as well. It's all of us.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going to jail.
You're in the jail, and they're going to juvenile detention. Yeah.
So break the law.
And speaking of which, and they're using that woman that got killed, and it's tragic that she got killed, and that never should have happened. I don't fault the ICE officer.
No, you can't fault him.
He was hit by her. He was pushed by her car.
Internal
bleeding as a result. Her car is considered a deadly weapon. He could have just as easily slipped and fell underneath the wheels, or his belt or something could have got caught on the bumper and dragged and maybe thrown underneath the car. Yes, he could have easily been killed. And I heard this. There's a clip of her partner after she realized what had happened. She's screaming at the ICE agents, why did you have real bullets?
What?
Yeah. Why did
what?
You know, that's because apparently the people who are training these people are telling them, you've got nothing to fear. Oh, they might have rubber bullets or maybe even pepper balls.
Oof.
These people are being lied to, and I just about guarantee the people that are lying to them about this and training them were salivating and probably high-fiving, we yep. got us a martyr.
Yep. Which I don't really think that's resonating with people.
No.
It's not having the George Floyd effect that they were hoping.
They're trying. And see, getting back to the church that was invaded today, one of the things that they were saying, because they're intimidating the churches. If you speak out in favor of ICE and in favor of immigration, you know, crackdown on illegals and enforcing the laws of our nation and protecting our citizens, we're coming for you too. We're going to be in your churches too, not just in Minnesota, not just here, but around the nation. So it was an intimidation tactic, mm-hmm. but it was also, number two, an encouragement tactic to encourage other like-minded protesters around the country. And these people represented BLM. I guess BLM's trying to get back on the map again. They're trying to encourage other people to do the same thing. And the collusion with Don Lemon is absolutely, you know, unmistakable. He knew they were coming. He promoted in advance to be watching because something was going to happen. He knew what was coming. He went in such a fashion that he would be there. And now think about this. Have you ever visited a church, you know, when you're traveling that mm-hmm. you've never been
yeah.
in before?
Yeah.
Okay. You go in and, you know, you're not as comfortable as you would be in your own church because yeah. it's just you don't know anybody. You don't know where anything is. You're new.
Yeah.
First time in. And if you were there and a violent or at least seeming violent, talking violent, angry mob storms the church, would your first reaction be to pick up your phone and start capturing it on your phone and calmly, not excitedly, calmly saying, oh, here are some protesters. Why? What are they protesting? Why, look, this is what happens when you violate people's rights. This is a First Amendment event. They have every right to do this.
No, they don't.
But, I mean, would that be your first reaction to calmly comment on what's going on?
I guess it would probably depend on how many times I rehearsed it.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
oh,
exactly.
You mean spontaneous. You mean if I didn't rehearse it?
I mean,
probably not.
Wouldn't you think you'd be diving under the pew or looking for the doors or trying to get out
and
rather than stand there? And then, of course, you know, but that's because you probably don't travel with a camera crew. So to be ready, because you never know when you're going to be in church and an arm or an angry mob storms the church. I mean, yeah, I never know when that's going to happen. I mean, I remember once when I was in Samoa as a missionary, and you know, it's in the tropics, you know, and the doors were open and all that, and we had a dog come storming in. A dog!
What?
And he laid in the doorstep and half in and half out and then slept. But for a moment, there he was in the door.
Uh-oh.
I think another time we had...
get him with the face act.
Yeah, he was blocking the entrance. Yeah. He was. We were invaded by termites.
Oh,
yeah, termite season, and about once or twice a year, the termites would hatch. They would just be everywhere. In your evening service, you'd have to turn out the light for a couple of minutes because they'd be attracted by the light. They'd all come flying in. Because of the lights. So we were invaded by angry termites, I guess.
That's
but
at
any rate, you know, do pray for the church. You can look them up online, Cities Church. It's the name of it, Cities Church. And it seems like a decent enough church. But pray for them. I mean, this shouldn't happen to a church. You know, Don Lemon piously intoning that, you know, these people feel uncomfortable and they should. because people need to feel uncomfortable about people's rights being violated. They're violating the rights of the people in that church.
Yeah.
There are laws against what they're doing. And I love
the line too where they say they're picking up American citizens. Yeah, American citizens that are impeding an investigation or an operation.
Yeah,
you know, they're breaking the law. Yes, they're going to pick them up and arrest them as well. They're not deporting them though.
So I mean, it's just unreal. And like I said, this information, a lot of this stuff is just breaking. It's just coming out. And I was going to say Yahoo News, which is not a place that I frequent. Yahoo News, if somebody wants to check this out, published, it says, watch, Don Lemon captures anti-ICE protesters confronting Minneapolis, and that's where it runs off there, Minneapolis pastor in chaotic scene. And so this was just published here about 4:30 this evening, something like that. So if you want to see the preparation in advance, you can see this. The whole clip is it's like 6 hours long. So it's the preparation beforehand, the actual event, and then interviews with people after that. And I personally could not take 6 hours of Don Lemon, so I'm not going to be watching the entire thing, but I was going through some of it tonight, the first 10 minutes or so of it. I went up through where they invaded and came in, and it's well worth it. The number of the church people trying to get out, some of them I think were blocked from getting out, and this is what Don Lemon said. This is what the First Amendment is about, the freedom to protest. I'm sure people here don't like it, but protests are not comfortable.
But I don't think the First Amendment allows you to protest inside a church.
No, not like this. And this is private property.
Yes,
100%. This is private property. I mean, I have the right as a pastor to ask somebody to leave our church service if I am concerned that they're, you know, perhaps going to cause a problem or present a safety, you know, a threat to the safety of the people in the church or something. I have every right to ask them to leave because it's not a public thing. Mm-hmm. We're, you know, a church is a private group that invites the public to come in, but has the right to exclude people as needed. And so this is something that we're going to find out more about this, I'm sure, some of the news programs tomorrow. And one of the church people asked Lemon if he was part of the protest, probably saw what he was doing. And he said, "Oh, I'm just here photographing. I'm a journalist."
Okay.
Grief. I mean, this is unreal. And the protesters, he's saying they're exercising their rights. But they went there, they said, because they found out that the pastor, at least one of them, worked for ICE, leading them to launch their, as Don Lemon put it, clandestine mission. So... yes, very, very well worth watching. The
clips
just,
of it though, yeah, clips, not the entire 6 hours.
Well, at least the first 10 minutes or so.
Okay.
Where you can see the lead up to it. You don't necessarily need to watch all his interaction with the protesters beforehand, but as you see him in the car, a lot of that you can just kind of fast forward a little bit. But when he gets out and he heads into the car, I guess you have to give compliments to where compliments are due. If I were going to play the clip in the section that I would have played, you would have only had to bleep out one word.
Oh, wow.
Which wasn't so bad.
I really expected,
you know, these guys bantering back and forth in the car that it might have been worse. But there was only one word when he was rummaging for something in the back of the car.
I'm sure. I'm sure in the church there it's a lot different, though.
Well, yeah, I would imagine. But they completely disrupted the service. And Well, I must have been further into it because this thing here at the bottom says watch the relevant portion begins roughly 40 minutes into the video. But like I said, if somebody goes to Yahoo News and they look up the Don Lemon captures anti-ICE protesters confronting Minneapolis pastor in chaotic scene, you'll be able to find that. And I encourage people to do this. I think churches, people in churches need to watch this. If you're a pastor or a church leader, maybe a member of a church security team, you need to watch this to see what they did. Mm-hmm. The best way to set up security for your church is not to sit in your church and say, what can I do to protect this place? Maybe I better put a lock on that door. Maybe I better make sure that window's secure. No, go outside of your building. This is what security experts will tell you. Go outside of your building and think as if you were going to disrupt the church service. Think if you were going to break in from the outside, what would you do? And that's how to really secure your church. Jonathan Gilliam, if people are familiar with him, he's got a book, Sheep No More, which clarifies some of that or goes into that. Hey, we're going to take a break. Don't go away. We'll get to our callers as soon as we come back.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and we're going to get to our callers here in this segment. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. The phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Find out more about us. Listen to past programs. Read some of the articles that I have there. And you can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And certainly invite you to come out and visit us. And, you know, that's the main sponsor of our program. But we're also sponsored by East Coast Pizza. And East Coast Pizza is located in Garfield Heights on Turney Road, if you're familiar with where the Garfield Heights High School is. East Coast Pizza is right across the street at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can check them out. Give them a call, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And let them know you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. As I said, that's one of our sponsors. They help sponsor the program as well. And they supply pizza for our Friday night Bible study, which is always enjoyable. And I can see Kenny in there. He's probably good he's got his mic muted because you'd hear him chomping. He's eating East Coast Pizza right now.
It's delicious.
He's eating it right now. And, you know, I
brought your batting average back up.
I made up for last week. I'm at a 66% rate of delivering East Coast Pizza to Kenny.
Say 67. We'll round
67,
up.
67, 66. Yeah, 60. I guess it'd be 67 percent. You know, I've brought him pizza two-thirds of the Sundays this year. How's that? That's two-thirds of the Sundays.
Yeah, so far,
so,
yeah.
Last week, I really improved my batting average. Like you said, last week, I only brought you pizza 50% of the Sundays of the year.
Yeah, that's a huge, huge uptick.
Which was sad because the week before that, I was at 100%.
You were, yeah.
But, no, Kenny enjoys it. And, you know, I had some this afternoon and still had enough to bring Kenny some tonight. And this was pizza left over from Friday night Bible study. So it's not like it's fresh pizza. It's still good.
And we don't have an oven here. Oh. Yeah, I threw it in the microwave for about a minute. And,
yeah.
And it's perfect.
But I'm telling you, when it comes fresh from the ovens at East Coast Pizza, it's some pizza. And, you know, it's great. And so you can give them a call. And you mentioned about it on Friday night being Friday night's pizza because this just shows how well it lasts. Even if you have leftovers, it heats up good. And so you can check them out. That's, as I said, that's East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Give them a call, 216-341-9100. If you like pizza, I think you'll enjoy them. All right, well, we're going to get back to our program here. And, you know, we spent a bit of time talking about the situation in Minneapolis and do keep them in prayer. I had some other things I want to talk about tonight, too. But that was big news just happening today. And if we hear anything more, we'll let you know. But we have got Nancy calling in tonight. Nancy was a little under the weather last week and didn't get a chance to call in. Nancy, welcome to the program. How are you doing tonight?
I'm better. I'm not completely healed, but definite improvement. I was finally able to get an antibiotic.
Well, now, good.
My question, thank you. My comments or question or topic tonight is regarding Venezuela President Maria Machado, who gave President Trump her Nobel Peace Prize as a symbolic gesture of gratitude for his support of the Venezuelan freedom struggle.
Right.
And, I did hear that the Nobel Peace Prize Committee said that this wasn't legal, but, I mean, like, who cares? Because I just thought it was a wonderful gesture. But do you think that maybe President Machado is a little bit afraid of President Trump, even though she's on the same side as him?
Well,
because, you know, she sees what Trump did to, what's his name?
Maduro.
Maduro, yeah.
Kidnapped
Maduro. And So I'd just like to know your take on this whole thing. And do you consider it legal? I do. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, one thing that I would have to let you know about, first off, the lady with the Peace Prize is not the president. She was the opposition party. And the acting president, acting president of New York. I don't know why I'm thinking New York. I think what it was is Maduro made me think of Mondani.
Well, I mean, New York is almost a foreign nation at this point.
Yeah,
as well.
I think so. But the vice president under Maduro is Delcy Rodriguez, and Rodriguez is the acting president of Venezuela right now. The other lady that won the Nobel Peace Prize, she was on the opposition party that really did win the last presidential election, but Maduro refused to accept the results, and you know, he was essentially a despotic illegal president under Venezuela's own laws. Now she gave the prize, you know, the poster and all that, or the poster, the plaque or whatever it is. It's a pretty large plaque, I think. But she was in D.C. recently, I guess, and presented it to Donald Trump because she said he really deserved it. He really made it possible. And so there's no fear on her part, I don't believe, of Donald Trump. You know, she supports him and was honoring him with that. That's why she did it, not because she was afraid of him, but she was honoring him. And, you know, you say, well, why isn't she the acting president? Well, because we did not go in to enact regime change in Venezuela. We'd still be there, and it would be much messier than what it is. But Rodriguez was the vice president in Venezuela, and she is no paragon of virtue. She was, I believe, in charge of the prison camps and torture centers for Maduro. That was one of her responsibilities. And right now, she's singing Donald Trump's praises, and she's singing the praises of democracy and all of this because
she's probably afraid.
Yeah, and I think that's why she's doing, because she knows that Maduro, lying asleep in his bed in the middle of a compound, you know, a safe house in the middle of the largest military base in Venezuela, was literally snatched up by the Americans at the request of Donald Trump, President Trump, in the middle of the night. They swooped in, and within, you know, less than 2 hours, they came in, scooped him up and his wife, and had them out of there. And she knows that the Americans did not suffer one single casualty, did not have any loss of equipment. She knows that the Venezuelan military was powerless. She knows that the Cuban military enforcers and protectors that were there, guarding Maduro, that they were completely powerless against the Americans. She knows that the top-of-the-line Chinese and Russian early warning systems, their radar systems and all of that, were completely useless against the Americans. And she knows that Donald Trump has just as much information on her as he did on Maduro, if not more, and could just as easily snatch her out of her bed in the middle of the night. And she could wind up on her way to a maximum security prison here in the United States, waiting trial on drug and corruption and all sorts of crimes against humanity. And she knows this. So right now, yeah, to keep herself out of prison, she's playing ball with President Trump and allowing freedom to come into Venezuela. Now, right now, it's just because she fears for her own safety, her own freedom. Right. Uh-huh. And so that's what's going on there. And again, President Trump did not do anything unconstitutional. He did not do anything illegal. He didn't do anything really that no president since at least as far back as President Truman has done. And we're including in that Biden and Obama and Clinton and Johnson and Kennedy. You know, Truman was a Democrat as well. Democrats and Republicans alike have done things like, you know, similar sorts of operations. Carter, remember his failed rescue of the Iranian hostages, where the tragedy in the desert there. He tried, but Donald Trump was very successful in what he did. I think part of it is because he has turned to the Lord, and many of his cabinet and top people have turned to the Lord. And, you know, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I think God's blessing them. So I think that what he did was admirable. Support him in it. He was very well done. And it's also the result of that is that the people in Venezuela, and by the way, the people in Venezuela were very, very happy with what happened. Venezuelans that had fled their country, living here in the United States and elsewhere in the world, were very happy with that. You know who the most unhappy with it is? The Russians, the Chinese, the Iranians, the Cubans, and the American Democrats.
Yeah, they're probably all afraid of Trump now.
But did you hear? I said the American Democrats.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, those are the ones who don't like what Donald Trump did in Venezuela.
I know it was absolutely ridiculous that they don't applaud him for what he did, but we know whose side they're on.
You know, nearly a year ago, Donald Trump stood before the joint session of the Congress and said, "Look at them. They're just sitting on their hands. I could announce a cure for cancer." And they wouldn't clap.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're power hungry, but they don't care if it's good for this country.
Yeah.
All they want to do is regain power and steal power.
Well, you know, let me tell you this, talking about Venezuela and voter fraud, Dominion voting machines and things made in Venezuela, coming from Venezuela, things like that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Remember Mike Lindell, the pillow guy?
I have some mic pillows.
Yeah, well, remember how people said he was crazy and lost it because he was claiming voter fraud and claiming that people outside the United States were corrupting the 2020 election? Well, guess who's being vindicated? Remember Sidney Powell, President Trump's attorney, said that she had stuff.
I knew they were all innocent.
Yeah, she said she had information showing foreign actors.
So I don't listen to CNN, by the way.
Yeah, I don't either. And so all these people that were being called kooks and extremists and everything because they said foreign agencies, foreign actors, were manipulating the 2020 election, they're all being vindicated. And again, the Democrats have reason to not be happy, because they're the ones also being implicated in this, all the way up to and including President Obama. And this is why we need to pray for President Trump. I mean, the Bible tells us that we need to pray for our government leaders. I mean, we need to realize that where they're at, and, you know, they got more than just a target on their back. I mean, they are they're under constant attack, constant threat.
I
remember seeing, what was it, once or twice in the last week where the presidential motorcade had to alter its course because of suspicious packages that appeared along the course. And, you've got that to be concerned about. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, you know, I used this verse a lot last year, and especially leading up to the election, and I think it's all the more important this year, where he says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, where he says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know, we're in a, there's a spiritual battle that we're in, and it's all around us. And, it, you know, Donald Trump is at the focal point of this. Is he perfect? Absolutely not. But he is doing what very few people have had the ability or willingness to do in the past. Very few presidents. I was listening to somebody discuss a couple days ago, earlier last week, where they were saying, you know, how does he compare to past presidents? What president would you, in the past would you compare most to? And of course, at first they were saying, well, how does he compare, like, to say Reagan? And they said, well, there's some areas and all. But the one guy said this, and the more I thought about it, the more I think about it, the more I agree. He says, really, I think the better president to compare him to is Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh, really?
And I thought about that, and I thought, there really is a lot there, because there's a lot of comparison positive towards Ronald Reagan. I agree with that. But Teddy Roosevelt was kind of a... I don't know if I say maverick or whatever, but, you know, it's like he made the observation something to the effect of, if somebody calls themselves a hyphenated American, you know, American slash this, they're not a real American. There's only one real American. It's an American without a hyphen. And, you know, he was a strong America first. Remember, he had the Great White Fleet, where he projected America's naval power. They had a fleet of white painted ships that they went around the world to show the American flag, to say, hey, America's not to be trifled with. We're stepping out on the world scene. We are a world power now. And Teddy Roosevelt is the guy that went down and pushed through and got the Panama Canal built. The French had tried to do it. The French lost a bunch of people, lost a bunch of money, and they gave up. Teddy Roosevelt came in, and we lost a number of lives down there, thousands of lives, I think tens of thousands of lives, but he pushed it through and got it done faster than any of the European powers thought ever could be done. And, you know, so he's somebody that, and you begin to see why. Remember his famous charge up San Juan Hill and the Rough Riders? And so you can begin to see why there's some comparison between him and Teddy Roosevelt. So it's really kind of interesting if you think about it. Yeah. But we do need to pray for him, because he is in the crosshairs. The Chinese and the Russians and the Iranians and the Cubans and the North Koreans and the, you know, you name it, are not happy with him right now. The drug lords, the drug cartels, are not happy with him right now. They weren't happy before. They're even less happy now. And you can bet that the Democrats and the leftists here in this country, who are fearing that perhaps some of their misdeeds might come to the light, they're not happy with him either. And so we need to pray for his safety. We need to pray that, as he says, as Paul said, pray for him. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And, you know, we are safer that Maduro is out of power and the Russian, Chinese, Iranian foothold in Venezuela is being rooted out. We are safer in America because of that. Did you know that fentanyl deaths are on the decrease in America today?
Yes.
And why? Because we declared literal war on drugs and the drug cartels. And we've been blowing drug boats out of the water, and the supply has gone down dramatically. And so we are seeing benefits from that. I thank God every day that Donald Trump won the last election, and I thank God every day that he's doing the things he's doing. I mean, I'm getting much of what I voted for. I'm still waiting for some things. And coming up this week, I think Tuesday is his 1 year anniversary for his second term.
Okay.
I'm not sure when the State of the Union address is, but I am looking forward to that. I really am. Here's something that we won't be seeing. Remember his last official State of the Union? Because what he did last year was technically not a State of the Union address. It was an address to the joint houses of Congress, but it wasn't technically a State of the Union. His last State of the Union was back in his first term, at the end of his first term. And remember, Nancy Pelosi famously shredded the State of the Union address right behind him when he finished.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think you're going to be seeing that happen. And I think you're going to see a lot of Democrats sitting on their hands, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I wanted to thank you for your excellent response last week when you were discussing my friend, that has a Trump derangement syndrome.
Yeah.
She really nailed all of President Trump's virtues and how anybody could, have such a negative view of Trump when the facts did not support that. But I just want to thank you. You covered that so well. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And for those who aren't familiar, Nancy is unable to call in last week. She's under the weather. And she texted a message in, and I addressed it in the last half hour of the program last week.
And if
somebody wants to listen to that, they can go to livewithpastoral.com, and they can listen. Just go to the second hour, and you can listen to it there. So, well, I'm glad you're feeling better, Nancy.
And, well, I'm not completely healed, but I am definitely better.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we'll keep praying. I know people keep praying for you. So,
thank you. Well, thank you for taking my call. And that was fascinating, some of those details that you explained tonight. And then I didn't know about Teddy Roosevelt, all of his virtues. So that was fascinating.
Yeah, he's a very interesting person. I remember reading about him. I think I first read about Teddy Roosevelt when I was in like grade school or junior high school. I had to do a report on a president, and I think I picked Teddy Roosevelt. And I've always been kind of fascinated with him ever since. Interesting.
You know what? My elementary school was called Roosevelt School, but I never did find out if it was named after FDR or Teddy Roosevelt. I never really remembered history that way.
Yeah.
I'm getting more interested in history.
Yeah. Most likely it was named after his cousin, Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Yeah, probably.
Who was a very interesting person as well, but not as complimentary interesting as Teddy Roosevelt was.
My father did not appreciate him. He was a hardcore Republican.
Yeah.
But anyhow, that's another subject. Well, thank you again for taking my call.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, and thank you for calling. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, the number here tonight is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We're going to go to a break in about a minute here. We've got a couple of callers that are there. We've got Terry and Jim who are waiting, and I don't know that we have time to get to either of them before the break, even just to get started. So, Terry and Jim, if you can hold on, when we come back from the break, we'll pick up with your calls. And I just wanted to mention also probably it won't get till the last half hour of the program today, I wanted to talk about some interesting things that took place. One, with the Supreme Court dealing with some cases about allowing or not allowing men into women's sports, and the question about is there a difference between boys and girls, and just beyond idiotic statements that were made, and then another Senate judiciary hearing on a similar subject. So stay tuned. Don't go away. We have another hour to go.
According to the Barna Group, a SageCon is a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative. Spiritually active means biblically engaged, governance-engaged means politically involved. Unfortunately, conservatives who are biblically engaged are not always politically involved, and vice versa. This presents a problem because, as John Adams wrote in 1798, our Constitution was made only for moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. To be biblically engaged but not politically involved means abdicating our responsibility to bring our biblical values to bear in restraining our government. To be politically involved but not biblically engaged is to enter the battle for our nation's soul unarmed. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al at 1220 The Word. We have a country to save. Wake up and vote your biblical values.